Dogs of Away podcast. I'm your co-host, Doug.
I'm Amy.
And we're here to talk about
parenting.
I'm not sure why we said it that way, but we hope you had a good Thanksgiving. We are recording this the Tuesday after the last Thanksgiving. I know we had a good one. Did you enjoy it?
Are you asking me or the audience?
I'm asking you. I can't hear what they say.
I had a nice one. I thought it was really sweet. Like a very intimate family gathering.
Yeah.
It was a small group. Mm-hmm. And it just, like, the hours just flew by.
Yeah. It was really nice. And it was the first one for Celeste that she might have a shot at remembering.
I don't think children's memories go...
Usually not.
No.
But, you know...
But it was the first one that she, like, was an active participant.
Yeah, the last time she was, what, 9 months old?
Yeah.
Something like that? So now she's 20 months old, and she got a lot more out of it, I think. She wasn't feeling too hot.
No, she ended up sleeping for a good portion of the day.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a growth spurt or what, but she wasn't eating too much and kind of just generally being a little grumpy and sleepy. But we're still glad she was there to share it.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting holiday for babies, because I think it is very much focused on, like, everything the adults are doing, running around and cooking things, and it was hard to
eating
kinda,
yeah, if there's food that you don't like as a child, it's not really that exciting.
Yeah, I think the basic foods are pretty palatable though for kids. I mean, turkey or like sweet potatoes and things like that, things kids are gonna generally
generally kids. I don't know about Celeste, but
we'll see how she does next year. Hopefully she's feeling better.
Yeah. She didn't eat a ton, did she? Did she have any of the turkey?
I think she had a little. I think she had a little of it, but not much. She did get a very special present, though, from your great uncle. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, sure.
Is it her great uncle or your great? No, it's your great uncle.
Well, technically, it's my grandpa.
I guess that's true. It's originally from your grandfather.
Yeah. So when I was a little kid, my grandfather built me a dollhouse. And the original version was actually made from scraps of wallpaper and carpeting and stuff from my family's houses, actually. But he passed away a long time ago. And then we really had no place to put the dollhouse. And it lived in my mom's garage for a while. And then one day my uncle decided that he was going to refurbish it, clean it up a little bit, and give it back to us. So he had it for years and years and years. And finally, recently, I mean, I talked to him and I said I wanted it back for my baby, and so he brought it back on Thanksgiving. And so it's been gutted, basically. I think one of the rooms still has the original wallpaper, but everything else has been cleaned up and changed the carpet. It's a full remodel of this house.
And he got the permits.
Right. Yeah. All the carpenters came in and everything. But we have all the original furniture that my grandpa, I don't think my grandpa made it. Maybe he did. I don't really know the story behind the furniture, but we have it all in a box. It's a lot of delicate furniture, so that's going to stay in a box. But Cece's got the bones of the house to play with, and she's been playing with it almost every day.
Yeah, we have a little, there's a little toy dollhouse, like a plastic one, that lives at my mom's house that she loves and plays with all the time. And so now she has her own dollhouse. It's much bigger. And I think she's enjoying it. I haven't watched her play with it too much, but
she'll sit and play with it.
Yeah, her imagination kind of runs wild with, with that. It's really cute.
It's kind of sweet to see, because it was something that I used to play with all the time. And now to see her play with it, it's kind of a nice cycle, you know, circle of life. Not really circle of life, but
hopefully she takes continuation good enough,
of life. But
hopefully she takes good enough care of it that it can be gifted to her children someday.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a little family heirloom like that. Yeah. It's nice to have a piece of your grandfather.
Yeah. Around. Yeah, that sounds gross. Like the bones from his teeth make tiles and the floor of the bathroom.
We also have a reliquary in our house.
Where What's that?
A reliquary? That's like in medieval times. Oh, wait, let's see if Amy can guess what it is. What is Amy thinking this is?
Well, you're saying relic, and you're talking about like heirlooms. So I'm thinking it's like a part of the house where like stuff that's been passed down resides?
No.
Sounds like an aquarium, but for relics. Like a reliquarium.
That's actually a better guess. That's actually closer to what it actually is.
So it's like the bones of your family members floating and staring at you?
Colder.
I have no idea.
A reliquary is so like...
Oh, reliquary.
Reliquary.
I thought you said reliquarium. Well, okay, go on. I have no idea. By the way, anyone listening, guess? Go ahead and guess real quick.
Yeah, a reliquary is... in the early days of the Christian church and like the medieval era, churches would try to get visitors, because visitors would come. They would, that would be a source of income. It's tourism for the town, right? And for the, and money for the church itself. And so to do that, they would have to advertise, oh, we have something special at our church that you can't just see anywhere. And so what they would often advertise is they would claim to have the bones or body parts of saints. So, oh, we have the, you know, the finger of St. Jude or whatever. Uh-huh. And the reliquary is the box they would keep this thing in.
Okay.
And mostly it was probably all BS to drum up, you know, because who's going to know whose finger that is? But that's what a reliquary is.
Okay. So it's the box of a fake dead, famous dead person.
Of a relic. It's a box to hold a relic. But okay. But that's what they were typically used for, were body parts specifically.
I would like to say that my... guess was pretty close.
That's why I said you were
no close. My first one
that it was
a place to put body, like old relics that were passed down. I mean, it's
close. Yeah, you were on the right track.
Okay,
I'm not saying you weren't.
Okay,
but that was fun. We stumbled onto a little.
Yeah, ooh, I love those little organic ones. When you plan them, it just doesn't work.
No, it really doesn't. So what else can we talk about that's been going on this week? I have a few topics here. We talked about Thanksgiving. You want to talk about the enchantment of light? No?
I don't know what there's to say about it. So there's this garden in this town that's like an hour away.
Yeah, it's up like north of Pasadena.
It's in North LA area.
It's in La Cañada, which is Spanish for the Canada.
I'm going to ignore that. So it's basically, it's like a giant garden. And during the holidays, whether they be Halloween or Christmas, and maybe they do other things too. I'm sure they do something for Easter. They decorate it. So during Halloween time, they carve a bunch of pumpkins and you can view the pumpkins on display. And it's this huge,
I was thinking more about Celeste's experience with it, not so much. I mean,
I know, but you have to give background, otherwise you can't just be like, we went to the Descanso Gardens and be like, oh, she enjoyed it so much, and they have no idea what we're talking about.
I know. Okay, context.
You do this stuff in court, don't you have to give context?
Of course.
Okay Doug's blushing because he's embarrassed.
I did not mean to jump on your train of thought.
Just explaining. That is what a podcaster does.
Okay.
So like I was saying, we went for the Christmas version, which was a big light show. So they had 10 different areas with different light things. So one of them, my favorite one, was like this big tulip field, and it was all lit up, fake tulips.
Yeah, they were glass, and they kind of would pulsate and kind of in different colors.
It was like a light show.
Yeah.
But all the areas were a little bit different, and Celeste sort of enjoyed it. I mean, I couldn't get a gauge on if she was interested or not. There was one little trail of rainbow-colored blocks, and she enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was like a picture like the Yellow Brick Road, sort of like it was this path of tiles that would all light up in different colors. And that she was very excited to get out and like walk around.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really cute to watch her sort of experience this. You know, I feel like the thing you traditionally associate with kids is like, you know, shiny objects and bright colors. We'll entertain them for a while. And this was sort of a little more sophisticated. And I thought she did really well with it. I thought she did well earlier in the evening when she was hanging out with our friend's children. I thought that was pretty cool to watch her interact. But seeing her her eyes sort of light up as we went through this thing. And also that she was a trooper because it was kind of late at night. But I just thought it was a really cool experience for her to, you know, to see that.
I think it'll be even better in about a year. So I think now it's just like so scary that she'll just wander off. It's like I don't have a hard time letting her just enjoy things because I'm so paranoid about her getting kidnapped and like wandering off or
even just
herself.
Like, not even that. Like she's so small that she'll get like
trampled on. Yeah. So it's definitely a big balance right now between my comfort level and her just walking. versus me keeping her in the stroller for her safety. Although I try to let her walk as much as possible. It's just like it was dark and there was tons and tons of people and it was just like, you got to stay in your stroller. Yeah, that sucks.
And there's no lighting in that thing apart from the like exhibits themselves.
Yeah.
There, you know, the paths aren't exactly like, I ended up Googling it and I saw a picture of something. I was like, I don't remember ever encountering that thing. And I'm sure it's because we just...
What was it?
It was a series of like circles on the ground. Like picture the tile path, but like just circles within circles within circles.
Oh, I don't remember that either.
Yeah, we didn't. Somehow we ended up getting lost, not following the correct
path. Well, it's a big garden. I mean, I imagine it's like the garden that we used to live near, like the size of that.
Right.
Just wandering it.
I think it's even bigger. It might be like, I mean, it's not quite the size of like the Huntington, but it's pretty large and forested. So you really can't tell where you're going other than just kind of generally follow the crowd, which is what we did. And I know we ended up getting lost at one point because we doubled back to something and we, you know, the things were numbered and we saw them in the wrong order at some point. So I'm sure that's how we missed this particular exhibit. But the bigger point, like sort of like you said, was like, how do we make this good for Celeste? How do we make sure she doesn't, you know, get lost and get trampled? But incorporating children into your outings is hard. Like someone was saying, oh, we should go see Coco. And in my head, I'm thinking like, we've only gone to the movies like 2 to 3 times since she was born. And that's just us.
You know, yeah, there's we're not ready no to way her. I'm taking her to the movies.
No.
Her attention span is just not there yet. And she'll only like Sesame Street anyways.
No, we tried
and to even if she did sit down and watch some of the movie, it would never be the whole movie.
She would want to get up and wander around and that'd be it.
Yeah. So it's I'm not even gonna like at least another year, maybe when she's 3.
Yeah. I agree. She just can't focus. Like she can barely watch a whole episode of Sesame Street. Her attention span is actually pretty good.
I don't understand why she doesn't like anything else besides Sesame Street.
I think
maybe we just have to keep trying.
My thought is it's a kind of like opportunity cost. Where it's like, well, I am watching this, but I could be watching Sesame Street, and this is getting in the way of that. And since that's first place, I'm never going to go for whatever second place is.
That's an interesting theory.
So
like that's kind of like me and Scandal.
It's like I like
watching like Scandal a lot, and sometimes you're like, oh, let's watch something else, and I'm like, no, because I could be watching Scandal.
Yeah, I was going to give a different analogy, which is like, I enjoy popsicles, but if you offer me ice cream and popsicles, I'll always choose the ice cream.
Yep.
So it's not like I don't like the other one, but you just can't compete with that first choice.
I think we just need to keep trying. Maybe there's just something out there that she'll like. I keep thinking Little Mermaid because the music is so good, but it doesn't get to the music right away. So maybe something else.
Yeah, and I tried to show her Nightmare Before Christmas because she really likes the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland, which is all done up for Nightmare Before Christmas right now. So in fact, that's the only version of it she's seen is this, you know, seasonal version. So I thought, and I keep like, oh, you want to watch the movie of we call it the Ghost House. Like, you want to watch the movie, the Ghost House? Oh, yeah, yeah. And I put it on and like within 2 seconds, she's like, no, Sesame Street.
Oh, she's smart.
That's a good movie. I don't care
she
what you're
knows
saying.
That the movies you like are terrible. Doug likes everything. The worst movies.
Oh, come on. Like what?
I don't even know. Like, what's that other stupid movie you always try to make me watch? Like, any of your favorite Disney movies are, like, the worst Disney movies. Like, Hunchback.
I didn't say it was my favorite.
Or, like, I don't know, The Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah, what a terrible movie that is. That everyone on Earth loves except you. Like, I don't... Like, you have to understand you're in the minority on that, right?
No.
No, you don't think you're in the minority?
No, I'm not. If you're listening to this, tell us if you like it or not.
Everyone loves The Princess Bride. That's, like... not liking chocolate cake. Like,
I don't know. I guess I just don't get the hype.
We watched it. It's delightful. It's
got
just
not that fun.
It's got romance, sword fighting, whatever the line is where the grandfather says what's in it. It's also a kissing book. Is that the problem? Is that it's a kissing book?
What does that mean?
It's a line from the movie. It's Fred Savage.
As you wish.
There you go. You know, Fred Savage does not want his grandfather to read the book to him at the beginning because he goes, wait a minute, is this a kissing book?
Oh, okay.
And by the end, like, he's okay because they're going to kiss. And he's like, okay with it because it's a book about true love. It's to me, it's impressive in that it's both a parody of a fairy tale and a legitimate fairy tale at the same time. Like, it's successful at both. And that's a hard kind of tightrope to walk. So that is one of my all-time favorites. But You're just leaning your head back and going, ugh.
Is this conversation over yet? Oh my God.
All right. We don't have to talk about Princess Bride anymore. We talk about other things that you hate that everyone else
likes. Like what?
I don't know. I feel like every time I suggest something.
You wanted to watch. Okay, this is what he's lately upset about. The fact that I won't let him, a 37-year-old man, watch the Emma Watson version of Beauty and the Beast.
We never saw it. The general consensus was it was really good. I said, maybe we'll check it out. And you were like, I refuse. It's horrible. I've never seen it and it's horrible.
This is also what Doug says about Sound of Music.
I never said,
no. And Wizard of Oz, I think.
No. I've seen Wizard of Oz many times. I think it's good. Sound of Music, I understand, is a good movie. Some of the songs in it make me want to shoot myself. Like, Doe a Deer Can Go Fuck Itself. That is an awful song. So is that, I mean, there's it's like super cutesy-wootsy, like, kids singing, and that's always a hard sell for me. Like, it's, I don't know, they sound like Raffi songs stuck in the middle of a Nazi musical, and that it just doesn't sound right. But I'm willing to give it a shake because I haven't actually seen the movie, and I understand it's supposed to be pretty good. So I would look past a couple of the songs that I don't like.
Maybe we should go to the Sound of Music sing-along. Tanya, if you're listening, take note.
I would be totally down to go to the Sound of Music sing-along.
Okay. Noted.
So I'm just saying, I'm not opposed.
Okay.
What was the other one you said? I'm okay with Grease. It's not my favorite thing. I don't hate it.
You know what it's about?
Yes, I've seen it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's 50s greasers kind of thing. And she is trying to, well, she's in love with John Travolta, but she's a goody two shoes, so it's not going to work out. But then at the end, she decides to slut it up and they fly away in a car.
Sort of.
Yeah.
They meet on vacation.
Right. She drowns. She's nearly drowned. or if you believe, you heard this theory, that she does drown and that the entire rest of the movie is like the fever dream she experiences as she's about, like Jacob's Ladder. Like she has a Jacob's Ladder experience as she's dying.
Okay. And then what happens at the end? She floats off and dies.
You're right. Hence the flying car.
Okay. Interesting.
Until Grease 2.
Although, well, that wasn't even Grease 2. Neither of them
are in it. So, right? They're not in it.
I think like some of the side characters are in it.
Yeah.
Or the teachers or something. But I don't think that. She's like the cousin. Like, isn't it Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yeah.
She's like her cousin, something, I think, right?
Which is like code for like, we couldn't get Olivia Newton-John to come back.
She was too busy like bending over in leggings.
In Xanadu.
To be Fever. What is it?
Xanadu?
No, Fever.
Oh, Fever. Let's Get Physical?
Yeah, that one. Not yeah. Fever. What's Fever?
Fever?
Is that also her?
I don't know what you're referring to.
Okay.
Flash Dance. Give
me Fever. Isn't that?
That's an old song from like the 40s.
Okay, never mind.
I'm not sure what you're referring to there.
Don't mind me. I'm just having a stroke over here.
But yeah, so Grease is not like.
Grease is not the word for you.
It's not the word for me, but it's not a bad movie. Like, okay. I don't hate it.
Do you even get that reference?
Yes. That is the song, Grease.
Okay.
I'm familiar. I'm familiar with it. I can see it.
Okay.
Yeah, just not.
But anyways, we're not movie compatible.
Not at all.
And I mean, we're on the verge of divorce every time we talk about movies.
Pretty much. It's a real bone of contention. Also music to a certain degree, but definitely movies are even more incompatible for us than
so music. Amy has Amy time and Doug has Doug time, and mm-hmm. we each go to our respective corners of the house and we can do whatever we want. Doug namely plays video games like a 12-year-old, and I watch MTV's The Challenge like an 18-year-old. Oh man.
Yeah. Okay, so the last topic I have on here, of substance.
Are any of them of substance so far?
This one's more, yeah, parenting related. So this is about...
Oh, I just realized.
We have Momo?
Yeah, we have Momo.
Momo is Celeste's stuffed elephant, but that's okay. She doesn't always sleep with him.
She should be washed.
She's got Elmo.
So he definitely helps her.
She needed him today. She has not been feeling well the last few days. And at one point she was crying, Momo, she wanted him.
Yeah.
I thought that was really sweet.
Oh, and then he's still on the couch. So what assholes we are.
She's okay. I think she's asleep now.
Anyway. Yeah. Good.
But I was going to talk about the fact that with us, she's starting to push her limits. But with our parents, with whom she spends a good, you know, 2/3 or maybe half of the week.
She's just an angel.
Right. So I think that's interesting that she is doing, because the report card from my mom and from your mom and aunt is always like, oh, she was the best. She's so sweet. She didn't do anything. And like, she comes back with us and she starts, you know, not being a bad kid, but like, you know, we'll be walking in a supermarket or something and she'll start walking away and we'll say, no, you can't go. No, don't go any farther than that. And then she'll kind of look back and she'll give us this like,
oh yeah.
And then start going and you count to five and usually that works. Then when that doesn't, she's like, she takes off more.
Yeah.
And now you have to run after her because that five count is supposed to have some like oomph to it.
Yeah.
So
today she was dipping a French fry she was dipping her fingers in ketchup. And I was like, Cece, don't do that. And she looked right at me and went, I just pretended to.
It's an audio medium.
Yes. And it was just like, but she was like maintaining eye contact the entire time. And it was like, Mom, go fuck yourself. It was like, oh yeah, you don't want me to touch it? I'm going to touch it. And meanwhile, if my mom said something like, please don't touch it, Cece would be like, okay, nanny, no problem. I won't touch this.
Right.
And it's like, what? Yeah. So I think it's like a testing of boundaries. I don't know why she doesn't test her boundaries with them, though, because she's with them all the time. And it's...
I think because we're the parents.
Because like we're the ones who are more likely to say no anyways.
We are the police. We are the fun police. We are the safety police. But I think it's not just that. Like, there's something about us being her parents. Like, we are the closest relation she has. And I think she understands that on some level. That, like, we're directly in charge of everything.
Yeah.
And so she is going to push those boundaries. Because she's starting to recognize she has agency. She's very much like, you know, when we're eating, she's way more likely to get upset if she doesn't get to put the fork with the food in her mouth.
Uh-huh. So she wants to do it herself. Yeah.
She
do it.
She says all the time, Cece do.
Yeah.
Because she wants to feel like, you know, a big girl, and us getting in the way of that is a problem. But also part of that has to be, you know, I want to misbehave because I can make a choice for myself. And then she gets mad when we override that choice. But she's got to learn.
But I don't understand too, like when I change her diaper, she cries when I do it. But when TT does it or when your mom does it, it's like your mom the other day was like, oh, she never cries for me when I change her diaper. And I was like, secretly
all the time
secretly saying like, go fuck yourself under my breath. Not really, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but I was like, shut up, like, I don't want to hear that, that's not helpful.
Because she does it like, all the time to us.
Yeah, she does it all the time to us. And I mean, same thing with my aunt. Like, my aunt's like, oh, she's an angel for me. And it's like, ugh, why is she so good for them?
I think because they are an amusement park for her. Like, this is like, we go have fun.
They must have to lay down a lot every once in a while.
I'm sure they do.
Maybe not as much as we do.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we're not there to observe what's happening.
I always try to tell Celeste that my rules are not arbitrary. I know she has no concept of what arbitrary means, but
that's a big word for a 1.5-year-old.
I know. But I like put her in her stroller because it's like there's cars coming or something. And I'm like, Celeste, I want you to know my rules are not arbitrary. Like, I don't want you to get hit by a car. I'm teaching her big words.
I do have to say the Sesame Street words of the day sometimes are pretty big. I was watching one that was like, the word of the day is empathy. And I'm like, that's a pretty sophisticated concept.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
I remember talking about Sesame Street in one of my child psychology classes. I was really praising it. And why it's done so well is because it really talks to kids. But anyways.
But still, I was thinking like the word of the day could be something far simpler.
Like shoe or something.
Yeah,
like,
it could be shoe.
Yeah.
But these
Well, the age limit for kids that watch Sesame Street, I mean, it's such a big
spectrum.
Yeah, so. I think. So they have to hit all levels.
Yeah, and to be fair, I've never heard her say empathy. She says shoe a lot.
I can't believe she says Ferris wheel. That's pretty cool.
No, she'll.
And the fact that she understands what it is. I mean, I really think her vocabulary is like that of a 3-year-old.
It's pretty
I don't really know any 3-year-olds, so I can't compare. So maybe not, but it's pretty impressive.
It is. It seems advanced to me. But it's also like, I'll give you another example from the Descanso Gardens thing. When we got there, we thought it would be helpful because if it's dark, she might be a little scared from that. So we thought, let's get her, like, it's like a wand. It's one of these things with a million little fiber optic strands on the end, and it lights up and changes colors, and it's a toy. A light toy. And there was a button on it. It had different functions. So, like, one of the functions was to, like, flash very rapidly, like, red or green. And it was annoying as fuck. And so we would try to get her to switch it to the mode where it would just slowly fade from one color to another. And so, like, it was doing the thing. And I said, Celeste, can you please push the button? And she just went and did it. And I was like, wow, you know how to operate this thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, that was pretty impressive. One, that she knew how to operate the thing. Two, that she was able to comprehend the instruction I gave her and then execute.
And that she actually did it.
Right.
Didn't ignore your advice to do it.
No. And I was like, oh, wow. She really followed that command. Like, and she was doing that this tonight. Like, she had her head over on the stairs between the little posts and the banister. And you're like, oh, no, put your head back so I can take a picture.
Uh-huh.
She did it.
Yeah.
You know, she really understands a lot.
She understands everything. She doesn't always listen, but she understands.
Her comprehension is,
it's top. It's hot. Like, very high.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I mean, I don't think we're doing anything different than other parents are doing. I think she's just catching on quicker or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And she's definitely starting to get a little braver. Like, we went on Pirates of the Caribbean. She actually asked to go on Pirates of the Caribbean this weekend.
And we used that same wand again. We called it her brave wand.
Yes. And she knows the word wand as well. Like, that's a word she knows.
But I think because she had her brave wand.
She was, she enjoyed the ride. Like, she was happy to go. She talked about
it. Although if you ask her about it now, she's like, 50% of the time she says yes and 50% of the time she says no. So we'll see.
She liked it at the time.
Yeah.
And that was impressive because I thought that drop would terrify her and she did fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to watch her get braver and, all the things that because she was, even at Thanksgiving, which is before we went back to Disneyland and did this, her primary topic of conversation is Disneyland. The whole night, boat ride, yes. You know, car ride, yeah. Pirates, no.
Yeah.
It was, pirates, no, was a big part of her.
Yeah.
Her talk, one of her talking points for that night, and now she likes it.
Yep.
So it's just impressive to watch her mature. I mean, as much as a 1.5-year-old can.
Yeah.
And I think that covers all of the topics I had written out.
How long have we been talking for?
I don't know. I'm using GarageBand to record this, and it shows it in measures. There's got to be a way to change that to, like, time. So right now we're at 827 measures.
Should I look up how long a measure is? Why don't you guess?
A measure is, it could be any length of time. It depends on the tempo that you're recording. Oh. So
does it say?
The tempo is 120. So if you want to do some musical math on this, there's got to be a way to change this display. That just seems insane to me. But hey, GarageBand fans, if you know how to use this thing, let me know, because I'm barely scraping by with my GarageBand editing skills.
I have no idea. Sorry.
That's okay.
But, well, you can play around with GarageBand after. I bet Kyle knows it.
Yeah.
I think he used to use it.
Okay. Any other podcast stuff you want to talk about? You got a parenting fail or a proud moment? She's staring blankly.
Sorry, no, I don't.
Oh, no. Is there a current event you want to discuss?
Oh, like the news?
Anything that's happened lately.
Not really. I'm sorry, no.
Okay. You want to talk more about movies that you dislike?
Definitely not, if I want to stay married.
All right. Well, in that case, then we should just move on to our admin then. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you like what we do, please.
Don't tell us. Just stop listening.
No.
Don't review us.
If you do like us.
Oh, no. If you don't like us. I thought you said if you don't like us.
Yeah, if you don't like us, scram. We don't need you.
Why I oughta.
Yeah. No, if you like us, please tell everyone on Earth that you know. And you can send us feedback if you have questions. Send them to bundleofoy@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/bundleofoy. Also, please rate and review us on iTunes. That helps increase our visibility. And if you write a review, I will make up a limerick about you and read it on the air. That's very important. Also, Momo is molesting the microphone.
No, he's dancing.
He's dancing.
He's pole dancing.
He's pole dancing.
Yeah.
Momo's steez, by the way, is a Renaissance thespian.
Yes. Would you like to say something in Momo's
voice? Good morning. Hello to you. Tis I, Mumma Rumaloo, the dramaturgical elephant.
Well, he used to tell Celeste stories when she was a baby.
That was where the name came from, was that I would put on like Renaissance-y music, and he would perform plays for her. And so I was trying to like improvise a name that was like Mercutio, but wasn't Mercutio. So just Mumma Rumaloo came out, and that was his name.
Yeah. He always says, "Tis I, Mumma Rumaloo."
Tis I, Mumma Rumaloo.
When's the last time he performed for her?
It's been a while. She was probably not even crawling.
I mean, someday we'll be able to put on like funny improvised plays for her.
Yeah.
For our own amusement. I think more so than hers.
I was trying to keep busy. I mean, you know, when she was that young, they don't do much. So yeah. I was trying to keep it fun and interesting. So he would perform, and he would perform a comedy or a tragedy. And we would improvise a little plays that would be like Celeste. And then the villains would be Elceste and Omar Domino, who were their evil doppelgangers.
Oh,
they would do things in the plays.
Oh, yeah. And we had names for all like the little hanging guys that hung in her little playpen, too. Do you remember all those?
Yeah, I don't remember all of them. The only one I remember, there was Zeodor, like Theodore, but with a Z, and he was the zebra.
Oh,
and
okay.
He was really, his bit was that he was really boring, and he was, because he was brown, he was like the zebras that are up at Hearst Castle.
Oh, okay.
And so he would tell boring stories about, like, parties with Dorothy Parker and stuff that went on there. But he would always try, the bit was that he would always try to make them as uninteresting as possible.
Okay.
That was Zeodor the zebra.
I remember there was a monkey, and I think he liked to make things like words that started with M. And then one time he was like, "Celeste, what's your name if it started with an M?" And it was like, you were like, "That's not fair."
Yeah.
Right? Correct. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yeah. Which is the name I'm sure she will eventually be saddled with on the playground. Or CC's feces,
one of
the two. But we thought about that kind of stuff when we were coming up with names, and you just realize that like,
and no matter what your name is, there's going to be something.
Someone's creative enough to come up with something.
Yeah, definitely.
So, we'll be fine with CC's feces or Celeste the molester.
Yeah, this year.
It's unlikely though. I feel like she hopefully does not get that one, but we'll just have to teach her if she does. It's just people playing around and being funny. They don't mean it.
What about the kid who like came up to her at Disneyland and said, "You're mean"?
Yeah, and she was just standing and around.
She was
doing
like
anything.
She was basically playing with like the chains that hold the lines together
at Small World.
And like this little boy came up, and I think he wanted to play with them. And his mom was like, "No, like let's let her just play with them because she's smaller than you."
He was like three, right?
Yeah,
two and a half.
And then he just like said, "You're mean to Celeste." And it was like, "Wait!"
And she just looked at him like, "What?
Yeah,
are you talking about?"
Yeah,
which is the correct response. I was confused by that too. And like for the second, I was like, "Did she do something that I didn't catch? Like, did I miss her do something?
No, not at all.
Wrong?" And like, no.
And then the mom was like, "No, you're mean to her own kid."
Yeah, it was funny.
And by the way, I think that kid's name was Riot, if I heard it correctly. Cool.
Not a good name. Like, what
Riot?
Is Riot? There's no positive.
Are you setting your kid up for like self-fulfilling prophecy, like, or what?
What's the positive association with that word? Like, I can't think.
Are
of
you
one.
Spelling it R-I-O-T?
Probably like R-Y-A-T-T, like Wyatt with an R.
Maybe it was Wyatt and I heard it wrong.
I hope so, because Riot is a weird name. Like, it's cool as like a stage name if you're in a punk band, I guess. But
yeah, Wyatt's a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not crazy about Wyatt either, but it's fine.
100 times better than Riot.
Yeah.
There's some just douchey names out there.
You ever just pull up the list of like, let's see what people are naming their kids these days. Because we did that a ton when we were trying to come up with Celeste names.
I still like looking up names for number two. I can't find one that I like.
By the way, we're not pregnant yet.
Just no, not pregnant yet. But I'm just constantly on the lookout. I'm hoping that like when I see it, it'll be like, oh, a bright shining light.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking Bumblebee, Riot, Promontory the Third?
Yes. I'm thinking we just go with Mumma Rumaloo.
It's a fine and goodly name.
I wouldn't mind giving birth to a 40-year-old playwright.
Yes.
Or a jester. Like, what is he exactly?
He's a performer. He performs.
Oh, he's just a performer.
He's an actor.
Okay.
And the other
bit, actually he would write the stories.
Like, no. Well, we would improvise them, but we'd pretend that they were real Shakespearean plays, and he would say things like "Exeunt," and they would all leave the stage and then come back. Act one, scene two, in which the wizard Celeste finds the sacred tome, or something, and then we'd do that.
Yeah.
The other thing he would do is he would talk about plays he had been in where he always played something.
Is he stuck up?
No. He's very helpful. He's trying to teach her about acting, but he would say something like, "Yes, I was in a performance of Cat on the Hot Tin Roof, in which I played the title role of The Roof. The critics said that overall it was an excellent performance, and since The Roof was overall of the play, I consider that to be a ringing endorsement." Like, he would always play inanimate objects in the titles.
Oh, that's funny.
So that was the other
thing. That's very clever.
And I would come up with a way that, like, somehow the review would be positive of his performance as, like, a tree or whatever.
That's funny.
So,
do you miss your abilities to put on those plays?
I suppose I could do it at any time. You could. Nothing stopping me.
You could still do it for her. She might listen to you.
She might. She might enjoy it. Maybe
you should try it again.
See if she can play along or something.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've done improv.
People. When Ryan and I hung out at the mall today, and like we randomly went to, we were just walking around Sears, and there was like a little seating area, like a patio with like a gazebo thing that was like tented off. So we like went inside, and like he was sitting in one chair and Celeste was sitting in another. And I just walked up to them. I was like, "Oh, I'm your waitress. Like, can I take your order, please?" And like we played a little bit. And I don't know if she was like really into it and she understood what was going on, but she ordered two burgers.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Well, then that's good. It shows her imagination is.
Yeah. So I think she's starting to get it.
It's never too young to learn yes and. It's important.
Yeah.
Wow, we've been going for a while, and that was a fun little tangent. So, thanks everyone for listening to
Bundle of Oi,
and
Boo,
straight tripping Boo, and until next time, a bottom of the evening to you.